use this mic and I'll use this one. Okay. Does everybody know who Abraham is?
Welcome.
Right.
Welcome
Thank you.
Back.
God bless you.
Okay. Question number one. Where were you born?
I was born in Lagos, on the west coast of Nigeria, on the Atlantic Ocean.
Okay. What's your favorite color?
My favorite color is green.
Green. Why?
Because it's right in the middle of the spectrum.
See, this is the scientist that I'm coming out, right? I like blue because it's my favorite color, because the sky is blue. You look at it in a scientific way. Green right in the middle of the spectrum. Okay. Now, there's going to be some Christian questions in a minute, but I just thought I would ask you some normal ones. What's the best place that you've ever visited and why?
The best place I've ever visited actually is Manchester. And the reason why it is Manchester is that quite a number of the things that I've been doing in later life were started in Manchester. My Christian faith got strengthened in Manchester. Adam and Andrew were born in Manchester. I went to university in Manchester. So it's, to me, a very significant part of my growing up. Visiting and living in Manchester has played a major role in many other things that I've done in later life.
Okay, so we can call you a mic now, Adam, right? Right. Who is the most famous person that you have ever met?
The most famous person that I've ever met is in the spirit, and it's our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no corner of this planet where people have not heard of him. So I don't know anybody that is more famous than I. But I've not met him in flesh, but I've met him in spirit.
What a fantastic answer. What would have been your answer to that question? You would have thought of some personality, wouldn't you? Isn't it tremendous to have a man of faith that the best person he's ever met is the Lord Jesus? Fantastic, Abraham. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Where are you working at the moment?
I work in Kigali in Rwanda. And I think we know quite a bit about Rwanda, coming from the days of a genocide. This is a country that's gone through a lot of turmoil in the past. And one of the things that this reminds us of is the importance of the message of our Lord Jesus Christ about forgiveness. I work in Kigali in Rwanda. I run a university for the government of Rwanda, the University of Science and Technology. But one of the things I find very interesting about Rwanda is that you have a group of people who have been involved in killing each other, in doing very, very terrible things to each other, now coming together to rebuild a country. When I lived in Northern Ireland, in Belfast, the situation was quite grim as well. There was all the challenges of the Catholics versus the Protestants. But before we left Northern Ireland, I could see people mending fences. But what I've seen in Rwanda is a more rapid mending of fences. And I think the key thing about Rwanda, why this is able to happen, is that more people have embraced our Lord Jesus Christ, have embraced Christianity in Rwanda after the crisis than before the crisis, because that is a prerequisite condition for them to come to. It is really difficult to sit in the same classroom with the son of the person who macheted your father or your mother. That is not easy at all. Or to work in the same office with the man who wiped off your family. I have had to deal with a lot of students who are orphans, and they meet with the people who took their dad and threw him in the river on a daily basis. And even for me, I think it takes a lot of Christian faith to be able to handle some of the situations that I have. A lot of the orphans in my university are not able to go home for vacation because there's no home to go to. So when it's vacation time, they leave the university like other students having the feeling that there is somewhere to go to. And then they get to the bus station, and then they realize that they cannot go back to those villages where the whole of their family was wiped off, 20 members sometimes, and they are the only survivors. And then they return to the campus, they go to the clinic and complain that they have this ailment or that ailment, just to have somewhere to sleep. But thanks to a lot of Christian work and Christian workers who have been coming to Africa, they have been helping to provide shelter, helping to provide hope for these kinds. So Rwanda is a very unique situation in the sense that this is a country that has now risen from the ashes and is rising to glory. And the only way that can be sustained is to have forgiveness, which is the bedrock of our Christian faith.
Do you feel that the people of Rwanda now have a hope that they possibly didn't have in previous days?
They do have a hope now, and this is top down because the president is a committed Christian, and they have a fellowship every month with, you know, well-known preachers from around the world coming to lead service. So the prayers even trickle down from the office of the president down to the people. And that is what the Bible says: ask and thou shalt be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened.
It's amazing that, isn't it? Okay, well, what's your favorite verse or passage of scripture in the Bible? What would be your most read piece of scripture?
It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I don't know how many of us would want to give our children away for anybody else, but he gave us his only begotten Son. I think that's a constant reminder. He gave us a test. He gave Abraham a test and said, you put Isaac up for me. And of course, Abraham exercised the faith and he said, no, I would replace this with my own son. I just want to check that you can do what I tell you to do. But I'm the senior partner. If I can convince myself that you would do it for me, then I would do it for you. And I think that's a very strong message to all of us. Most people would say, if only God does this for me, then I would do that. Then I would do that. No, he is the senior partner. You do what he tells you, then he will give you what you want.
Fantastic. Okay, what's the best thing that the Lord has taught you this year? Or what's the best thing that the Lord has taught you in any year? What would you say is the best thing that he has portrayed to you?
I think the best thing that the Lord has taught me and taught everybody in the world is the love. The first thing is the love of God. And then to love your neighbor like yourself. Those are the key things. With love, all things are possible. Most of the problems that we see in the world come from a lack of love. Like this young man who's been on the BBC, who was born in the same part of the world as I was born in Nigeria, from a very aristocratic background, well-educated, sent to University College London. But because that element, that essence of love was missing in him, he went into an aircraft wanting to blow up people he has never seen, people who have never offended him in any way. That is what a lack of love can do to you. It makes you go completely astray. And of course, there are consequences to a lack of love. Now he's having a very nice chat with the U.S. police on a hospital bed with severe burns. This is not a very nice outcome. So for me, the most important message is the love of God and to love our neighbor like ourselves. It's a complete triangle. God first, your neighbor, then yourself, then you're at peace.
How difficult that is to do. I don't know anybody who can say they can do it easily. Well, that's a great thing to share with us, Abraham. Thank you for that. What are your hopes for this new year, for 2010? What are you hoping for from the Lord to show you?
What I'm hoping for from the Lord is for the Lord to continue to guide me so that I can contribute my own, and I underline very little quota, to making things better in the world. No matter how small, I want to be a partaker in making the world a better place. To use the experience and knowledge I've acquired over the years to help improve the living conditions of people in Rwanda, of people in Scotland, of people around the world, in whatever little way. And also not to do it for vain personal glory, but to do it to glorify the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, because all the grace and glory belong to him. We are messengers, we are not the message. And I think it is important that we always realize that we are just messengers. The message comes from Christ. We are just messengers.
Okay. This is the last question. And you can have as little time or as long time as you want, but we're going to finish at 1:45.
Okay,
so you have a maximum of 8 minutes. What would you like to, well, there's two questions. I'm going to ask you one question before I ask you this final question. How long are you going to be here in Paisley? When do you go back to
I go back the January, around the 8th, 9th of January, I return back to Kigali, which is in Rwanda, almost right in the center of Africa. Very tropical place.
So you're here for about another 10 days or so?
Yes.
And then you go back there. When will you return back for a visit? Are you 6 months or 3 months? Or
probably less, maybe Easter, but I'm also hoping that it will be convenient for the family to also visit Kigali and, you know, see the place.
Okay.
Hoping
to share it with your family.
Yeah.
And to see where the Lord's guiding you.
That's right.
And teaching you. Ready for that, Adam? Okay, cool. This is the last question. And this is what we're building up to. What would you like to leave as a message for the people in the church here for 2010? What would you give them as a New Year's message from the Lord, but from yourself as well?
Yeah, I think what I would like to leave as a New Year message as we go into 2010 is a message of love, of true love, that whatever the Lord has given us, we should try to use it to assist other people who are in need of our support. When you look at your neighbors who you see are in some need, and the Lord has put you in a position to assist them, do not hesitate to go out to assist them, because there is a lot of reward from the Lord in remembering. Because, for example, the Bible is very clear in the book of James, and it says in the book of James that true religion is caring for orphans and for widows. We have to remember, even one phone call can make a lot of difference to people around us. One visit would not cost us so much, but can really help to transform the lives of others. In whatever we do, I think we should sit down and appreciate all the good things that the Lord has done for us, and look at those people who are less privileged. For example, most of us are enjoying good health, and this is something that we take for granted. And then you find so many people who are not so opportuned. Whichever way we can uplift them, we should try, you know, to go to them, say some nice words to them, share the message of hope with them, remembering that the most precious gift that we can ever get is the gift of life and the gift of our body. It is important that we look after it. Most of the time, we take this thing so much for granted that we tend to ignore the fact that it is a very precious gift It's a precious gift which you cannot buy. You know, it's not for sale. You cannot buy it in Asda or, you know, any of the shops around. So in everything we do, let us use our, you know, body, the opportunities we have to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ, because he's always there to support us. He's the one who is making all the provisions for us. And even if it's, you know, sending an email to somebody, you know, to uplift them, please try to do that in 2010. Little words like that, they make a lot of difference. You don't need to give them money or physical things, but emotionally, you can do more to affect how people connect with the rest of society than, you know, even giving them material things. And if anybody here has the opportunity to go on a mission abroad, do not hesitate to go there. You never know, you might not have a lot of opportunities to do this type of thing. But one thing I know is that at the end of the day, it is not likely that people will remember you very much for what you did for yourself. It's more of what you did for other people. This is what you are going to be judged against. You know, most of the time we think, I want to get this for myself. I want to. Nobody would remember you for those things. And then, of course, the Lord will ask you, are you the only one there? You know, I bought some nice shoes for myself, and I bought a nice shirt for myself, and I built a nice house for myself. Is there nobody else there? We are part of a big ecological system. So my message is, let 2010 be a year where there will be consolidation on this act. I know most of the people sitting around here are already doing these things anyway. So, but the issue is that there is always room for improvement. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Abraham. Let's just have a prayer. Yes. And I'll ask Abraham to pray for us. And then a time of sharing of your word. Thank you, Abraham.
Father Lord, we thank you. We worship you. We glorify you. We thank you for bringing us to the end of this year, 2009. We thank you for how we started 2009 in January, how we came to church on Sunday, how we've prayed for all the good things, Father Lord. We pray, Father Lord, how you've been with us, how you've continued to support us. Father Lord, we pray that this journey, we will not derail on this journey. We'll continue to serve you. We'll continue to worship you. We'll continue, Father Lord, to derive all the benefits that you've continued to provide for us. That in the coming year, 2010, when we look back at 2009, we would say even we have improved a lot more on the things we did for you in 2009. Father Lord, continue to give us that grace to continue to love our neighbors as ourselves. And of course, the eternal love for you, Father Lord, and the fear, Father Lord, for you, let it continue to remain and abide with us. Let 2010 be a year of joy, a year of happiness, a year of prosperity, a year where we come back again at the end of 2010 to all come together to thank you and worship you and glorify your name. In Jesus' mighty and victorious name, we pray.